question which many ask, and just before my grandson asked me that, why do we call Sukkot Zman Simchoseinu? So the definition of Sukkot is Zman Simchoseinu, even though the Din of Simcha applies to other days also, to Pesach, to Shavuos, even to Rosh Hashanah, there's a Din of Simcha. Why do we call, why do we define Sukkot as being Zman Simchoseinu? I'd like to explain to you, first of all, the meaning of Sukkot. The question is, the Torah asks a question, how come we sit in the Sukkot in the fall? We should sit Pesach time. When we went out of Egypt, there was Anan Yaakovit enveloped us. Sukkot is because of Anan Yaakovit. And that was on Pesach when we went out of Mitzrayim. Why do we do that in the fall in Sukkot time? So the Vilna Gaon, in Shir HaShirim, in the beginning of Shir HaShirim, it says an explanation, and I think it's early in the Rishonim also this explanation. It says that when Klal Yisrael worshipped the eagle, the golden calf, the Anan Yaakovit left them. They had originally Anan Yaakovit, but they left them because of the chet of the eagle. Yom Kippur, the Rebbeinu Shalom forgave them for the chet of the eagle. He said, Shalach Yidvorecha, that's why it's the day of Kapporah, Yom Kippur. And right after Yom Kippur, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, start collecting the materials to build the Mishkan. And Moshe Rabbeinu, on the 11th day of Tishrei, the day after Yom Kippur, announced that everyone should bring materials for the Mishkan. So for 2 days, Babeka, Babeka, the 12th and the 13th, everyone brought gold, silver, copper, whatever was necessary, the jewels, the diamonds, whatever is necessary to build the Mishkan. And then on the 14th day, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, okay, we brought enough, you can stop bringing these materials. And on the 15th day, they started building the Mishkan. The 15th day of Tishrei, when they started building the Mishkan, is when the Anan Yaakovit came back. They were atoned for their sin on Yom Kippur, but not completely. The Anan Yaakovit didn't come back until the 15th of Tishrei. That's why Sukkot is on the 15th of Tishrei, because the Anan Yaakovit came back to Klal Yisrael. That's the Vilna Gaon. So, this explains a certain duality that we find about Sukkot. On the one hand, Sukkot is the third of the Sholosh Megillim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. On the other hand, Sukkot is the third of the Yom Nevoim, Rosh Hashanah, and Kippur Sukkot. We have the white Pareches usually on Kodesh till after Yom Kippur, till after Shmini Atzeres, and we say a Guten Kvittel, there's a din that takes place. Part of the din of Yom Kippur is not completed until the Shana Rabbah. It's a Yimei Adin. It's a day of Kapporah still. It's a continuation. We stay with Dovid Hashem Oichi until after Sukkot. So we began Rosh Elul, and we continue through Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and we say Dovid Hashem Oichi until the end of Sukkot. So Sukkot has a dual personality. On the one hand, it's the third of the Sholosh Megillim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. On the other hand, it's the culmination of the Yom Nevoim, Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. What is it? The pshat is like this. The three of the Megillim, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, represent three experiences which Klal Yisrael had to undergo in order to be able to carry through all the generations. Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim. They had to have the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of being chosen as a nation, the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf. They had to have that experience. Shavuos, Matan Torah, they had to be commanded what to do. Pesach, they became a nation. Shavuos, they were told what that nation should do. That's Matan Torah. And in Sukkot, they had the experience living in the Anan Yaakovit, together in the divine presence, with the Anan Yaakovit hovering over them, and seeing their closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they should remember all through history they were meant to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even when they went into Eretz Yisrael, the Anan Yaakovit left them, they would always have that memory that they were meant to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what would keep them going all through history until the days of Mashiach. So these are three gifts, three experiences which Klal Yisrael had to go through. Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim, being chosen as a nation. Shavuos, being given the marching orders, told what to do now that you're a nation. And finally, to know that you are beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that your purpose is to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is a purpose that you shouldn't forget until the days of Mashiach. That's Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. But we lost that We lost the Anani HaKovid when we worshipped the eagle, right? We lost that experience of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, it returned to us when we did tshuva for the chet of the eagle, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us on Yom Kippur, and then when our efforts, we exerted ourselves in Moshe Nefesh to bring the materials for the Mishkan, and we're looking forward to coming again close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the avodah of the Mishkan, then the Anani HaKovid came back to us. Anani HaKovid, which is the experience of being in contact with Hashem, of feeling a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that came back to us on Sukkot. So therefore, Sukkot that we have comes after Yom Kippur, because we would never have had the Anani HaKovid if not for Yom Kippur. So the Anani HaKovid that we have is a product of the Slicha, of the atonement of Yom Kippur. And therefore, Yom Kippur on the one hand is the culmination of the Sholosh HaGolim, on the other hand, it's the day of the completion of the atonement of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because that's what really happened on Yom Kippur, on Sukkot. On Sukkot, we completed our atonement for the chet of the eagle, together with the coming back of the Anani HaKovid. So therefore, the ikur is, Sukkot is a time of dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a sense of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to feel that we are enveloped by the divine presence. We go into the Sukkot and live our normal lives in the Sukkot, right? To show that our normal lives are enveloped with holiness, with Kedusha. Right? We're not a nation that lives an ordinary life. Our nation is Dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every year we experience the Anani HaKovid. We experience the coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, living in the divine presence. That's the idea of Sukkot. That's why Sukkot, it says in Sukkot, a person has to live his life, but he has to be living in a higher level. If he is in the Sukkot, not to talk Zohar B'Tehillim, you should try to learn Torah, speak the very Torah in the Sukkot. But even if you don't talk, you talk ordinary conversation of a family, that's also a mitzvah. A teshuva came to do, because Sukkot is a time when ordinary life becomes connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the culmination of the experience of a Jew, is living a life in proximity to the divine presence. That's what Sukkot is about. And that's why, now we come back to the original question we asked to begin with. Why is Sukkot called Zman Simchoseinu? Why is it called Zman Simchoseinu, even though all the other holidays are also a time of Simcha? Why do you define Sukkot as being a Zman Simchoseinu, a time of Simcha? So we have to analyze what causes a person Simcha. We're happy when we can accomplish our goals. We're happy when things that we wanted become within reach. We're able to reach them. That's what makes a person happy. You can become happy, a child is happy when it gets a toy, because he likes to play, and now he has something that he can play, can exercise his imagination with. He feels very happy. Grown-ups can be happy with money, right, with food, travel, leisure. They can be happy because these are things that they look forward to. And when they have them, it makes them happy. But that happiness is short-lived. It doesn't, just like a child's toy, doesn't make him happy more than the time he plays with the toy. Afterwards, he's bored with the toy. The same thing is, true happiness is not achieved by a happiness of simply getting a sophisticated toy, like a new car or a new house. These things don't matter in the long run to a person. They don't satisfy him. They don't make him happy. I once had to speak for a large group of psychologists in America, and they asked me, what is the Torah view of psychology? That was their question. So I told them, most of psychology, the Torah view is that you're totally worthless. They were shocked. I said, why? Why are you worthless? Because I said, you're purporting to make people happy. I told them, you can never succeed in making people happy, because happiness is when you reach your goal. True happiness, permanent happiness, when you reach your goal. Happiness is not an illusion. Happiness is not thinking that maybe I'm a great person. I feel a little I'm not successful, so I can stand in front of a mirror and tell myself, you're a great success, you're a great success. It's not an illusion. It's not talking yourself into it. Or eating a nice sandwich or a steak. It makes you satisfied for a moment. Or drinking wine makes you happy, but afterwards it goes away, like a drug. It doesn't make you permanently happy. There's only one thing that makes you permanently happy, and that is carrying out the purpose for which you lived, for which you were born, the goal for which you were born. If you can accomplish that, you feel happy. And how do you do that? That's what the Torah and Mitzvahs are about. Torah and Mitzvahs are there to tell us how to live in accordance with that for which we were created. We do a chesed to someone else. We're happy because we're carrying out our mitzvah to be b'tzelem elokim, to be a bal chesed. We daven b'kavona. We feel happy because our tachlis is to serve Hashem. And when we do put on tefillah, take a lulav, we're happy because we're carrying out rotzon Hashem. That's what makes a person happy. Happiness is fulfilling your goal. And the goal is only fulfilled when you fill the goal of your neshomet. Your neshomet is a part of us that wants to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that wants to carry out Rotzon Hashem. It's not our emotions, it is not our minds, but it's a part of us which is driven, which is drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, drawn to do Rotzon Hashem. We all have that. Goyim have it also. And the only thing that's going to make them happy, or make anyone happy, is fulfilling that the drives of the neshomet. What the neshomet is looking for, when it's fulfilled, will make a person happy. So therefore, I told him a psychologist can never make a person happy. I told him you can't fix a car if you don't know how the car works, what drives the engine. You'll put ketchup into the motor instead of gasoline. You have to know what makes the car work in order to have it work properly. So what makes a person work, what drives a person, is a drive to do Rotzon Hashem. That's the ultimate drive in him. To do the acts of his neshomet. So I told him, you went to university where they taught you there is no neshomet. That a human being is a product of evolution who has no neshomet. He's another animal, a biped animal. And you're trying to make him happy, but you're missing the whole point. You don't recognize the part of him that makes him happy. How can you make him happy? No one can be happy unless he carries out the drives of his neshomet. Yes, psychologists have a purpose. There are some times where the person is broken or sick, he underwent an experience, a traumatic experience, or shame, or some other disgrace. It's very hard for him to function because he's paralyzed. A pain or a shame paralyzes a person. Psychologists can help him overcome the pain or the shame. It can take away the negative, but it can't give him the positive of happiness. It can never make you happy. Happiness is only when you carry out the drives of your neshama. That's Yisod Godel, a very important Yisod in ourselves. So if we're sad, it's usually because we don't have enough COVID, or we don't have enough pleasures. That's what we're usually sad about. But if we recognize that our tachlis is not COVID, our tachlis is not pleasure, our tachlis is serving Hashem, is carrying out the drives of our neshama, and we act that way, we do a chesed with someone else, then we'll be happy. They say, there are statistics that show that someone who raises a pet, people who raise pets have less mental disease than those who don't raise pets. So therefore, psychologists tell everybody to rush out to the pet shop and buy a pet. But the problem is not the pet that makes you satisfied and that makes you feel fulfilled. It's the fact that you're a bal chesed. You can help a pet. You can do something to a pet. You're doing pulas of the neshomet, but not the pet. If you give chasodim to your wife, you'd also be happy. Or to a neighbor, if you care about the community, or if you work hard to enhance the Jewish people, all of these things make a person happy because they're pu'ulas of the neshomet. Devotion makes a person happy. Selfishness makes a person unhappy. The more you concentrate on your selfishness, the more unhappy you'll be. A psychologist can never tell you, concentrate on your selfishness and be happy, because it's a stir minei obey. It's a self-contradiction. You cannot concentrate on your selfishness and be happy, because that's not a pool of the neshoma. The neshoma tells you not to concentrate on yourself, but to concentrate on others, to be a bal chesed, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be, wants your neshoma to be. So therefore, the zman simchoseinu, the time of the Anani HaKovid, when we're dovek in Hashem, when we're close to Hashem, we have. If we think about it, we're constantly close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our pa'ulas are clinging to Hashem, cleaving to Hashem. When we do that, we're happy. The definition of Sukkot is the time when the Anani HaKovod were with us, when they returned after the Chet of the Ego. That's what the Sukkot is about. So if we can be happy, if we can concentrate in making our lives a devotion to our neshama, to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feeling enveloped by the Anani HaKovod, we'll be happy. It says, Man Simchoseinu. Only then can we truly be happy. So the definition of Sukkot is the time of the Anani HaKovod, because that is Simcha. That brings a person to Simcha. Therefore, it's an opportunity. We still have one more day of Sukkot than Shmiyat Seres, which is a higher Madrega than Sukkot. But we still have a day of Sukkot, so we can use it to think about Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the tachlis of our lives. That's the purpose of our existence, is to do mitzvahs and to do chasodim, to carry out the pa'ulas of our neshome, to be about chesed to others, to care about others, not to care about yourself, and that will bring us true joy, and Yisukis is therefore called Zman Simchoseinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bench us all, that we be zoiche to the beautiful gift that we have of Sukkot. It's such a beautiful gift. The time of the year, culmination of the Sholei Shogolim, the culmination of the Yom Nevoim, culmination of it all is in the days that we're in right now. We just don't realize what a wealth we're given these days, what a kedusha we're given, a wealth, an opportunity, and even if we don't think about these things, but going through the days leaves an impression upon every Jewish neshama. We'll all be affected in some way by Sukkot. But if you want to really be affected, then think about Sukkot, and think about Anani HaKovod, and think about how we have a source of being a nation that is enveloped by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashrish Shinos Aleinu. We're a nation that is Kedusha. And think about the fact that evil becomes destroyed on Sukkot. We bring the Korbanos, which destroy the Shivim Umas, those things that are antagonistic to the Jewish goals of serving Hashem. That's the Umas of the nations of the world say, serve yourself. That becomes destroyed, that becomes diminished during Sukkot every day, another day, and tomorrow will be the last day when the 70 Purim will be diminished completely. We have a time when we can overcome our Yetzer Hara, we overcome the selfishness in ourselves, and then we're able to be Oved Hashem completely with all our Evorim. That's an opportunity to use Sukkot completely. May we all use it to the best of our ability. But I'm saying, if you don't think about these things, Sukkot will have this effect in you. Kol Shekin, if you think about it and you try to grow and you try to concentrate on the Machshava, closeness to Hashem, and making yourself happy by doing Rotzon Hashem.